Well, here we go. Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Princess Cruises is having a great sale for departures early in 2020. The Department of Transportation is looking at relaxing a consumer protection. And now that fires are dying down, what happens to tourism events in those fire-plagued areas? We have a live update next.
At 3:20, our Smarter Traveler segment features some ways travelers can fight back against using disposable plastic while traveling. The future is sustainability.
Did you know you can go to travelguysradio.com and leave a question for us? And if you've left a question lately, we just might answer it at 3:35 when we rummage through the mailbag. Bogus fees from third-party websites, getting to your cruise departure point before your ship sails, those are just a couple of the topics.
Getting to your ship before it sails. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always want to try to do that. So much easier than swimming alongside, you know. A popular Christmas tradition in Sacramento is the annual performance by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I'll be talking with my buddy Al Petrelli about this year's show. That's coming up at 3:50.
A little travel, a little entertainment, a few trip tips to make you a smarter traveler. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
All I want on and man.
I come from a land on a land.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kick.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on 93.1 KFBK. Tom Romano and Mark Hoffman with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
AM radio is dying. Because you guys have gone to the FM on top, and I noticed KNBR, the giant station for the last 2,700 years, is now advertising their FM station ahead of the AM station, which, of course, I live in Sacramento, so I can't get their FM station up here.
But yes, anyway, I know.
More people are listening to the FM. That's what that tells me.
Well, what has happened is the audience that we appeal to, which is mature adults, that are concerned about what's going on in the world, a lot of them were pretty young, not that many years ago, and they grew up on FM radio, and the AM radio, us old fogey guys like me, I grew up on AM radio. Now, I still find myself listening to KFBK primarily at 1530, but, it's sweet at 93.1 in stereo, and it services the audience that always... like I say, grew up with FM radio, and this radio show right now is reaching them. And if we weren't on the FM at 93.1, perhaps we wouldn't be serving them at quite the level that we should.
And the good thing about being on the flame-throwing 50,000-watt AM is that you can hear us in Tule Lake. I'm thinking probably, maybe at night.
Well, we've gotten letters from... literally halfway around
planets?
The world.
Yeah.
No, on the other side of the world.
Really?
Because AM radio will, the signal will bounce off the atmosphere.
Wow.
And return to Earth. FM won't do that. It runs along the ground.
I'm going to take your word for this because you've been doing this for a while.
Yes,
you probably know this stuff.
We get these ham radio operators or whatever. Now they can send us an email and they'll send us a little audio clip and they'll say at a certain time I was listening and then they'll describe which show that we were listening to the Travel Guys and on a Sunday and
at this point
from
people
Australia.
Are probably wondering what the heck we're talking about.
I know it's time to get to work here. We're here to make people smarter travelers and at the top of every Travel Guys radio show besides that stuff, we bring you the travel news. Mark, you're on.
I am. Let's see. Travel news. I mentioned that Princess Cruise Lines, not a hard word to say if you just slow down a little bit, is having a pretty good sale. We don't normally talk about airline and cruise ship sales on this program. In January, traditionally, cruise ships put their best foot forward. So if you're thinking about buying an individual cruise and you're not traveling with a group or something like that, then probably the best prices come out in January, unless it's something that was so popular that it's already been pre-sold and there's not a whole lot of space left. Anyway, Princess has announced that they have a sale going on through December the 10th. It is up to 40% off. And what it is a lot of, I'm guessing, cruises that aren't selling particularly well the first part of the year. So if you're thinking about getting away the first 4 months of the year, Princess has some pretty darn good prices on some pretty good itineraries. I'm not a big cruise ship guy myself, so and I haven't sailed with Princess Cruises in probably 20 years, so I can't give you a recommendation there other than to tell you that the pricing looks, at least from what I see from time to time, looks like some pretty good prices. So give somebody like Gwen Duncan a call, or you can call Michael Downer at the Sports Leisure Vacations office, and he would be happy to help you. We have some tickets to give away later in the show. Two tickets to see A Christmas Story, the musical, from the Broadway Sacramento folks. Matt has given us a couple tickets. The show starts on the 8th and runs until the 17th. So just be listening to the program is all I can tell you, because at the end of the show, if you've been listening, there will be an opportunity to score those tickets.
There we go. We're going to do what is known as the no-hour show quiz.
The no-hour show.
Ripping off Kitty O'Neill's afternoon news thing where they do the Know Your News quiz.
Will we hear from her lawyer, do you think?
Or? No. I think we've changed it enough.
Enough that it'll be okay.
We're safe.
Okay.
Know your...
I don't want
no
Kitty...
No-hour show quiz.
...mad at me. Because...
Oh, that wouldn't be good.
No, it's not. I mean, it's really not.
Yeah, you don't want to see the claws come out on the kitty.
No, because she's such a nice person, and yeah. She's always bubbly and everything, so let's just keep it that way.
All right.
New report says the travel industry must come together now to protect the planet. Indeed. This is a report from the Center for Responsible Travel. Their acronym is CREST. These things are coming up more and more, Tom. It looks as though finally folks who travel are realizing that while it is a culturally developing thing to do, going and seeing how other people live and making friends on other sides of the planet, that there is an environmental cost to that. So hopefully we can figure out a way to kind of mesh those two together and get the best out of both of them. But it's encouraging to see that airlines are looking at biofuels and that more organizations are springing up now in regards to responsible travel. Remember last summer when a bunch of folks got done in the Dominican Republic, remember, Tom? And they all thought that, wow, these people are all dropping like flies. And what could it be? Could it be maybe it's alcohol that's tainted?
Yeah, they were concerned that possibly one of the reports was that they had gotten some bad liquor out of the mini bar or whatever. Yeah, so what do you have?
Counterfeit alcohol had been eyed as a possible cause in a trio of fatalities on the island where the Dominican Republic is located. However, U.S. officials said bad booze wasn't to blame in the death of the three people that they've been looking at. The investigation was launched in the wake of a series of tourism deaths on the island over the summer, including some who drank from the hotel minibar before becoming fatally ill. They still don't know what did those people in, but it wasn't tainted liquor.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. This is really an interesting story, I thought. Many Generation Z travelers are choosing destinations based on their Instagram ability. Say that word three times fast.
Okay.
They are feeling that the Instagrammable destinations are feeling the love of young travelers. New research from NixPlay finds that Generation Z is looking to the social network more frequently when considering where they're going to travel. 38% of Generation Z, these are the folks behind the millennials, in case you're keeping track, will select a vacation destination based on its likelihood to result in great photos. 38% of them select a destination based on its likelihood to be good for the photos that they're posting online.
Interesting. Okay.
29% of Generation Zers say they have gone to extreme lengths to capture a photo for social media. And we know this because we've seen some of them fall over cliffs and things of that sort. So anyways, that doesn't, I guess, surprise me that Generation Z travelers are choosing destinations based on their Instagram ability. Remember go ahead.
You know, people my age, you know, and younger, whatever, the travelers in general, you're looking for natural beauty, beautiful spots, great scenery. You know, you spent a lot of money on those on the cameras over the years so that you could take great shots and turn them into slideshows and annoy your family. So, you know, it hasn't really changed that much. It's just that the Instagram thing is...
You're sort of right, because many years ago, when you went on vacation, and then you waited, what, a week and a half to get the pictures back, and or the slides back, and then you dropped them all into the little slide thing, and you had everybody in the family gather around, and here was Mom and Dad's trip to Hawaii.
There you go. And like I say, we would choose places, not because of, you know, it could be on Instagram, but you knew that if it was beautiful, you could bring that beauty back to the family. So anyway... My two cents.
It's just the way that it's done that's changing. I don't remember people backing off of cliffs and stuff, though.
No.
In those days. Maybe it happened and we just didn't hear about it.
There you go.
Remember the story last week we had about the Southwest pilots caught filming passengers in the bathroom? Of course, now when we mentioned this last week, this was not a new story. This actually happened. This situation happened in February of 2017. Southwest has issued a statement that says they will vigorously defend the lawsuit. When the incident happened 2 years ago, we investigated the allegations and addressed the situation with the crew involved. We can confirm from our investigation there was never a camera in the lavatory. The incident was an inappropriate attempt at humor, which the company did not condone. That's all it says, so I'm really interested to hear part three in this little story, because the flight attendant says she took a picture of the iPad showing a scene from the bathroom. So if there wasn't a camera in the bathroom, then how did she take that? There's a piece of information we don't have.
Maybe she was in on the humor.
You think?
I don't know.
We'll see. The Department of Transportation is proposing a new regulation regarding flight delays. If you remember a few years ago, we had a situation where airlines were leaving. This happened in Minneapolis. Northwest got caught with, I don't know, there was a dozen, maybe two dozen planes in a snowstorm that couldn't get back to the gates. They were parked all over the runways. They were parked in some cases 4, 5, 6, 8 hours. People, bathrooms were overflowing and there was no food. And so we had a regulation passed that said after a certain period of time, you've got to return to the to the gate.
Right.
And so now the Department of Transportation is unveiled a new regulation proposal that would change how tarmac delays are handled. And basically what they're trying to do here is give the airlines a weasel so that when the clock starts and stops on the limit of time that they can keep you trapped on an airplane will change a little bit. I'm not going to go into it here because it's kind of detailed, but I will tell you that the Airlines for America are all in favor of it. Airlines for America is the airlines lobbying group. So anytime they're in favor of something, you can almost be guaranteed that it's not going to be good for travelers. So there you go.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, we're ready.
Of course, fires all over California, all over Northern California have been a bit of a problem, and I'm guessing a problem for some tourism areas. Here we have a press release from Mendocino County, which says the coast is clear in Mendocino County. All major highways and tourism facilities are open. Their mushroom season has just started up there. We've talked about this on the Travel Guys and in years past. So they're telling people that it's okay to get up to Mendocino County and to tell us a little bit about what the situation is in the rest of Northern California. Are there any tourism areas that we need to avoid, or where is it okay to be able to go? We are joined by Carolyn Beteta. Carolyn is the president and CEO of Visit California. Carolyn, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi, Mark. How are you this Sunday?
I'm good. I am very good. Thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time today. I'm not sure that I would want your job right now because the situation is changing so much, so quickly and so often, and you never know tomorrow, you know, where there wasn't a fire today, there might be a fire tomorrow. Tell us what you know, and if folks have plans, you know, a lot of folks in Sacramento do a lot of travel around Northern California to festivals and events and stuff like that. Is there anything that we should know?
Yeah, well, I'm glad we're talking today because at least for now, we're on the backside of this latest round of fires. And frankly, like in Northern California, the wine country in particular, where the Cancade fire was, all evacuations have been lifted. I just spent 4 glorious hours up in Northern California driving down to the Grass Valley, Nevada City area, and it was spectacular, the fall colors. And the same goes now with Napa and Sonoma. Fortunately, there was no damage to the tourism and infrastructure. Unfortunately, we lost one winery, Soda Rock, that many of the listeners probably heard about. But there's over 800 wineries waiting and excited to welcome visitors. I mean, the experience right now, given harvest in the fall, is optimal. And those business owners, most of them are family-owned. They're just so excited. I would say the service levels are always best at this time because they're just so grateful to have the business back.
So is there any place, Carolyn, that I know the area up around Healdsburg and stuff, Healdsburg, a small town that's really become known for its culinary excellence, up there around Windsor and stuff south of Santa Rosa, are we all clear to get back into those areas now?
Yeah, my understanding is we're all clear. I would say for those travelers that have hotel reservations, certainly keep them. Call the hotel. Check the local convention and visitors website for the latest travel information. We've also created a website called westcoasttravelfacts.org with our sister states, Oregon and Washington, that has lots of webcams and travel information, road information there. That's also a great resource as well.
Thank you, Carolyn, so much for all of that information, and I wish you well in sorting all of this out. If there's anything else that we need to know, please consider us a resource to get the word out.
Thanks, Mark. Just everybody get out there. Now's the time to visit. They'll be very, very grateful, and it'll be a great experience for everyone.
Carolyn Beteta, President and CEO of Visit California, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. And Tom, that's our travel news for today.
All right. Once again, follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. And coming up next in our Smarter Traveler segment, we're going to feature some ways that travelers can fight back against using disposable plastic while traveling. That's next here on the show.
737 coming out of the sky. Oh, won't you take me down to Memphis on a midnight?
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, themed by CCR. Welcome to the program again now. Visit TravelGuysRadio.com. We're going to dip into the mailbag a little later on in the show, and that's where you can go, TravelGuysRadio.com, to leave questions for the show, along with gather other great information and tips and fun stuff all about travel waiting for you there. Mark?
Well, and Carolyn Beteta, who was just on with us before the break there, westcoasttravelfacts.com. So we'll post that on our website, but all one word, westcoasttravelfacts.com, a way to get information all up and down. I just signed on to it here, and looks like it's got some pretty good information as if you're going to Oregon or Washington. Talks about fire conditions and different things up there. So that's a great idea from a regional standpoint. So I'm not surprised that Carolyn and her crew are pretty, they're pretty on the ball. So they think of some pretty awesome stuff. All right. Let's talk a little bit about sustainability and travel. It's a not often talked about fact that airplanes are the seventh or eighth biggest polluter on the planet. The fuel that they use as they jet around the sky is not good for the planet. And to the airlines' partial credit, some of them are working on biofuels and some different things that might reduce those.
That's true. In fact, if you listen to this radio station, there is an ad mm-hmm. that talks about a company that is a biofuel, and it talks about the airlines, and it talks about an effort being made on the part of all of the big players to see what they can do.
Well, and in the Scandinavian countries, and now spreading to Northern Europe, there's a thing called flight shaming. We've talked about this before here, of basically saying, you know, why would you take a plane? Why would you fly from Sacramento to San Francisco, you know, I mean, even if you were connecting on a flight, why wouldn't you take a train? And that emits like 1/5 to 1/10 as much carbon emissions as flying on the airplane. Anyways, I'm not an expert on all of that stuff, but it appears that there's enough evidence to support the fact that travelers, when we're moving around, we're contributing to this problem. So one way that we can stop contributing to it is the whole plastic situation. You know, it's kind of interesting, Tom, but the plastic has only come along in, what, the last 50, 75 years has become popular, and now it's become this huge problem around the planet. So, and it's a problem for travelers. There's huge oceans of islands of plastic in the ocean and the like. So anyways, here's some steps that you can take towards environmental sustainability. Obviously, reusable beverage bottles. We've talked about this on this program. San Francisco Airport has gotten rid of plastic bottles. Now in San Francisco itself, plastic water bottles are on the out. The aluminum ones still cost a little over $2 that are reusable. So it remains to be seen if the cost will come down a little bit, if that becomes more of an alternative to the 15-cent plastic bottle of water, but we've got to figure out something. Take a reusable shopping bag. This is something that I've started doing on tour, is taking one of those grocery bags with me so that when I go shopping, just like I would go at home, I just take that with me. Now, I don't need a plastic bag. If I get a plastic bag on tour, here's what I do. I keep them all in my suitcase, and I bring them home and use them all at least one more time. So I figure I'm cutting at least by 50%. I mean, if we could cut by 50% the amount of plastic and garbage that we put into our environment, then I think we would be doing something. Reusable bottles of bathroom products. These are going away. All of the major hotel chains have agreed that by 2025, Marriott says by the end of next year, they will all be gone. They're using larger bottles that you can squirt stuff out of. You can also, if you have your favorite toiletries, I do this personally on the road. I take small bottles of my own stuff that I can reuse when I get back home. So it eliminates the need to use those small bottles. And also they're going away. So if you have your favorite small bottle, keep a couple of them if they're refillable bottles, because pretty soon you're not going to be able to have those anymore. Reusable shopping bags. We're talking about reusable bathroom products, bringing your own. Stop using destination water quality as an excuse to use plastic water bottles. Especially here in this country, almost everybody's water system is pretty safe. That doesn't mean that they're all safe. There are pills and easy things that you can take to test water systems if you're going to be there for weeks at a time, which might help you make a decision to stay away from plastic enclosed water. Avoid plastic toothbrushes. Every year in the U.S. alone, Americans throw away an estimated 1 billion plastic toothbrushes. There is now a bamboo-based toothbrush alternative that you can use. Single-use plastic bags, avoid using those to pack clothes in your luggage. A lot of times people throw those away at the destination. I'm talking about bringing all the plastic bags home and reusing them. Also, a wonderful lady in the Romano family last year for Christmas gave me some plastic cubes,
yeah.
For shopping, for traveling, which were great. Reusable utensils on the road. Turn down plastic straws on the road. Consider staying at eco-friendly hotels. And so those are some of the things that you can do maybe to mitigate a little bit of that sustainability issue when you're traveling.
And there you go. And you can find some of this stuff at travelguysradio.com. All right, coming up after the break, let's see here.
Mailbag.
The mailbag, of course. We'll answer your questions and pay close attention to the show, because there's going to be prizes at the end of it here on the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Once again, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
You know what we need Luis to do for us?
What's that?
We need him to find us some new bumper music, like some, you know, something that's came out in the last maybe 10 years or something like that. You know, I mean, just a couple, find us a couple, three new, and then we can just slide a few of our... I mean, not on the road again, but a few of our older ones off, and just, you know, that's
I think we should just use on the road for everything.
I'm
not just kidding.
Giving Luis authority to. Luis is the man who runs the board and turns the microphones on and stuff like that. So if he decides he doesn't like us, why, basically, we're not here.
And we'll be answering the phones later on when we get ready to have
contest. This is the deal. At the end of the program.
What's the deal?
This is the deal. We have two tickets.
At the end of the program, I go home.
Have two tickets.
Good deal.
And I will follow you kind of sort of home, since we sort of live in the same neighborhood. A Christmas Story, the musical, is coming to Sacramento to the newly renovated Historic Memorial Auditorium. We have two tickets to give away.
I want to see that. Can I play?
No, you can't play.
All right.
But these two tickets can go to anybody besides Tom and his wife. If you would, the deal is something that happens during the program. At the end of the program, we're going to ask if you know that, you call in and win the tickets. So just keep listening, because sometime between now and 3:55, you'll get that piece of information that you will need.
All right. We have the mailbag here. We got some great questions. Okay, here's the first question.
All right, wait a minute. Let me dig down into the mailbag here. It's down on the floor. You think somebody could put this up where it'd be, you know, easier to get at here. Okay.
He's just making that up.
Got the one. With my bad back, you think I would make that stuff up? Okay, here is the first one. This comes from Susan in Rockland. Susan says that we are always talking on the Travel Guys about having a 24-hour time frame to cancel a flight that
right,
you book with the
right,
airlines,
right?
Which is correct.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to know if this applies to third-party booking sites. She says she has a friend who booked a ticket with JustFly.com, and that she went back to cancel it just an hour or so later, and she was stuck with a $75 fee.
A cancellation fee.
When she asked about it, she was told that, yes, the airlines don't charge a fee, but we do.
Yeah. I think I heard the answer to that on the Travel Guys.
Yes, and the answer is that, yes, this is one of the reasons, Susan, that we tell folks to look around for the best price and then try to book it, buy the product directly from the person who creates it. In other words, directly from the hotel or directly from the airline if you possibly can, because you get these situations that come up. These other folks, the third party, this was Just Fly, Cheapo Air, which has spent a tremendous amount of money advertising on radio and television recently, same way, has some little fees and some little things that you, as an informed traveler, might think you know everything, but unfortunately, these folks with the third-party websites, you're going to spend half of your life digging through their terms and conditions.
You may never, never find whether they're going to or not by looking at their website and then the booking module. And, of course, there's nobody to call.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You could say, well, just call them and ask them, because you can call an airline and ask them, but you can't call most of these places. Most of them, you have to send them an email and then wait for them to answer you back. So just be careful. Really and truly, the best advice that I can give you is find that low price and then go directly to the airline's website in this case. And then you've got 24 hours to be able to cancel an airline ticket with the airline. But if you booked it with somebody else, then you may be looking at a fee. So, Susan, you are right. Your friend is probably stuck with that $75
fee. Tell your friend their check is not in the mail.
Exactly. Here's one from John in Sacramento. He says, this also relates to something that we've talked to in the past here. Why do all travel sites say they have the last room? Recently, I went to Expedia.com. To book a hotel room in San Francisco, it said only one room left. I went to the hotel's website, and there were all kinds of rooms. In fact, there were over 15 different types of rooms, which indicate to me that there were at least 15 rooms available. How is it that they can get away with that? In this case, John, I did a little bit of research because you provided me with some dates and stuff here of something that you were booking that was still down the road. And indeed, when you go to Expedia.com and they say there's only one room left, that room is for a king room for handicapped guests. And if you go to the website of the hotel, you will find that the hotel says indeed. And if you call the hotel, they will tell you indeed, it's not a lie. There's only one room left in this particular subcategory of rooms. So when they say only one left at that price, they're right. But unless you're a guest who needs a handicap facility, then when you call them, they're probably going to, or when you go online, they're going to offer you all of these other things. And you're going to say, well, you know, I don't want the room for the handicap person. Plus, here's the other deal. Hotels only have a limited number of these rooms that are handicap accessible, that are ADA rooms. So if you take one and you don't need it, then you may be taking a room from somebody who does need it.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of seems like a poor thing to do. What this means, John, is that when you're looking on all these websites and they say only one room left, only two rooms left, only one at this price, it means that in many cases, that third-party website only has a very limited amount of inventory from that hotel. And indeed, in many cases, they may only get one room in each category. So when they tell you there's only one room left, What they're telling you is there's only one room left in our inventory.
Yeah, their inventory is not the entire inventory of the hotel, but what they've been allotted to sell.
Right.
And so, you know, they are being truthful in that fashion. But here again, you know, your best bet is shop around and call the hotel.
Shop around. Use those things like Trivago and Kayak to find the best site, and then go to the place where they are actually selling the rooms, and you will find that this whole one room left, two tickets left. Remember that there are scads of hotel categories, and there are scads of airline fare categories. So oftentimes when these folks are telling you there's only one or two left, it's what I would call a fudge or a weasel.
And I've also discovered that they may pitch it as one at this really super special price. And if you call the hotel and you let them know the price that you can get on a secondary market, a lot of times.
Frequently.
More times than not, 9 out of 10, they will give you that price.
They will. And because when you go to that third party website, the hotel is paying between 5% and 25% commission to that site.
Costing them money.
Exactly. So if you're willing to book with them, hotels and airlines have spent a tremendous amount of money to convince you that, hey, why are you going over there? And I listened to the Cheapo Air. Those are all over the place. And they're talking about how, it's all word fudging. It's these are the cheapest fares that can be found on any site. Well, yes, they might be, but they're the same fare can be found on many other sites. It is the cheapest fare, but it's the same fare. Does that make sense? I'm trying not to confuse people.
You're right. It's a tricking of the words.
Yeah, it is. And so be very careful there when you see the things that say there's only one left or two left. Kind of take that with a grain of salt. Or again, if you go to the actual airline or hotel site and you see that they're saying there's only one left, why then you know that if that's the category that you want, that you need to make a decision. Okay, Merle in Elk Grove sent us an email and said, I'm booking a cruise out of Miami in the springtime, and I can get a flight that arrives in Miami as early as 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The ship doesn't sail until 8 o'clock at night. Am I safe in traveling to Miami on the day of departure? The answer to you, Merle, is no, absolutely not. Never, ever, ever travel on the day of that a cruise is departing or a major tour is departing. I recommend that you go at least a day early. And if you can, and it's a destination that you're interested in, let's pretend for a minute that you're going out of Miami and you've never had the opportunity to dine at on Miami Beach or to see some of the sights there around Miami, maybe go out and do an airboat ride and see some alligators, or there's some great museums in the Miami area. Point is, there are a lot of things to see. So if you were to go there 2 days early, then guess what happens? All the stress and everything goes completely out of your trip, because now if something happens and your plane's an hour late or 2 hours late, or heaven forbid you miss your connection, something like that, your bag gets delayed or something, and they say, well, gee, we'll deliver it tomorrow morning. And you're like, but my ship leaves tonight. So a day or two early, if you're taking that vacation of a lifetime, especially if you're crossing over an ocean, you're paying thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to travel. Especially if you're traveling independently. Now, if you're traveling as part of a group, that's a different story. Everybody's leaving at the same time. But if you're traveling independently and you're rendezvousing with a group that's departing, or you're beginning an itinerary in a certain day and time, and you have to be there at that day and time to begin it, then really and truly allow yourself a couple of extra days. It just really takes all of the stress out, and you'll be surprised at the cool things that you can find and the cool places that you can find just by leaving a little bit early. And also one other little thing that we discussed here, and we left our travel tip for on the air during this week, is if you are going on a cruise and for some reason you're separated from your luggage. And this was another question that came up online this last week. Your luggage doesn't arrive, and now the ship is sailing, and so you've only got a very limited amount of stuff. Your things have not arrived, and you're going out to different ports of call, and the airline is saying, well, your bags will be here tomorrow. And you're like, well, how do they get to the cruise ship? There are express luggage services in almost every major cruise line arrival departure area, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, New Orleans has one, Mobile, Alabama has one. Anybody who has a lot of cruise ship termination of cruises or origination of cruises will have an express baggage service so that when your bags show up, if you're willing to spend $100, $200, whatever it is to get your bags to you, they will get them to your next port of call. So that's one possibility of getting your bags back. In many cases, people have insurance of their own home, their own homeowner's insurance, or they've taken out travel insurance that will cover this type of a cost, or maybe the cruise line, if somebody was at fault, maybe getting a receipt, you may be able to get reimbursed for those things. Also, anytime you're in a situation where your luggage has not shown up and you think you're going to try to get reimbursement from somebody, be conservative in your expenditures and keep your receipts, because that's the only way. You're not going to be able to go back and say, hey, you know, give me $50 a day. It's going to be, here's my receipts from what I spent, and I was fair and I was reasonable, and that's why I should get my money back. So there a few things from the mailbag.
Yeah, all right. Well, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and once again, travelguysradio.com. You'll find a lot of the stuff that we've already talked about and will talk about right there for you to pick around with. All right, coming up next, going to spend a little bit more time with Al Petrelli. He's the lead guitar player and music director for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra coming to town on the 29th. I'm going to talk to Al about his own personal travel as a rock star. I think you'll find it interesting. That's next. Yes, it is. It's that time. Christmas is just around the corner. And, of course, just around the corner, too, will be a visit to the Sacramento area out at the Golden One on the 29th of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra returning again. Hi, Al Petrelli, a music director, lead guitar player for the TSO. Thanks for joining me.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Good to hear your voice. And how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Just kind of getting a little antsy. I fly out tomorrow morning to start production rehearsals to kick the tires on this thing and get it ready. Big rock show coming through town this year, Tom. Big one.
You know, Al, I understand there's going to be a lot of new this time around for TSO. Have you had a chance to see the set? What can you reveal?
Well, I haven't seen the set in person yet. You know, I've heard stories about it. There's a couple, like, myths flying around about it, a couple drawings. But I don't get to really see it until I get to our production facility in Nebraska. And it's kind of fun for me because, you know, it turns me into a 14-year-old every time I go there. You know, like, you pull into the parking lot of arena, I see 20 or 30 tractor trailers out there. And as I'm walking in, I you know, decade by decade, I get younger and younger until I literally put my baseball cap on backwards and become a 14-year-old and look at it for the first time, just like I was sneaking into arenas when I was a kid on Long Island. For me, it's what I live for.
Outstanding. Now, have you seen the set list? Do you know what tunes you're going to play?
Well, the body of the show is going to be Christmas Eve and Other Stories. And that's the first record we recorded back in 1996, you know, beautifully written story by our founder and creator, Mr. Paul O'Neill. We haven't performed that in, oh God, close to 10 years. So it's going to be real exciting to play some of those songs again, to be reintroduced to the characters in Paul's story, to watch the audience watch their expressions change, because people fell in love with the story years ago. You know, you're talking about 24 years almost, you know. And we haven't played it in such a long time, so it's going to be really exciting and kind of heartwarming to bring it back to life. As far as the rest of the set, we're going to keep some of that a surprise. You know, the opening of the show is always different. Every year we do it different. And the back half of the show, we are going to be doing a bunch of different songs this year. You know, and you and I have been talking for many, many years now, and the people that come back every year, I refer to them as our repeat offenders. So we always try to surprise them. They think they know what they're going to see, and we try to keep them on their heels as well. And for folks in your listening audience and in your community who've never seen us, well, whatever. The whole thing will be a surprise and a shock to you. Trust me, whatever you think it's going to be, it is not.
Well, all right. Al, you know, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Got some great entertainment coming with TSO, but I have to ask you, When you hit the road on this trip, you travel to a lot of different cities and mm-hmm. probably stay in a lot of different places and dine in a lot of stuff. I want you to help make our travel guys, listeners, smarter travelers if they were rock stars. Al, what's your favorite city and favorite venue when you take the tour every year? Or do you have one?
Well, my favorite city is the one that I grew up in, New York City. You know, I mean, I've been around the planet more times than I can count. But, you know, that's my home. There's something very special about that place. And, you know, I'll always hold it as home in my heart. My favorite venue, I'd have to say, of all the venues I played, the one that really kind of stands out a little bit would always be Red Rocks in Colorado.
Oh, yeah, the Red Rock Amphitheater.
Exactly. It's just, I mean, forget about the concert part of it. The landscape, the mountains, the whole structure is just, it's breathtaking to be up there.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, when I was a kid, seeing films of U2 playing there and other artists playing there, and I was like, wow, that looks like the coolest place ever. And then when I had the opportunity to play there a bunch of times over the years, I'd stand on that stage and look up and go, God, this is incredible. It really is a beautiful, beautiful place. But to be honest with you, Tom, in the last 21 years of touring with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, you know, when they shut the lights, every room becomes a special place. Every evening becomes a special concert, you know, so.
Now, the band travels pretty much, you got all your semis that go from city to city. Do you stay over? Do you have any favorite hotels that you like?
Favorites? Yeah, there's a bunch of them. The one that stands out in my mind, this is going to sound a little strange, but it's called the Pierre Marquette Hotel outside of Chicago. I forgot the name of the city. You caught me off guard. Peoria, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I guess, according to legend, when the Chicago fires happened, I guess whatever year that would have been, the 20s, 30s, I don't recall, but a lot of the mobsters and gangsters, Al Capone and company, set up camp in Peoria. And in this hotel room that I would stay at year after year, there was a push button on the fireplace which opened a secret panel. And that was his escape route. And it still operates and exists. And it would open up. And, you know, I remember, I don't know why, but there's a button on the wall. So what do? You know, I pushed it. The panel opens up, and there's actually like a passage or whatever to sneak him out of the hotel if the feds were coming to get him. And I just thought that was fascinating.
Don't forget now, tickets available, the Christmas Eve and other stories. It's TSO at the Golden One. Two shows. Al, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy day. Enjoy your rehearsals, and buddy, we'll see you in late November.
Always a pleasure, my brother. Love to the family, and I'll talk to you soon, Tom.
Thank you, Al. See you next time. Hey, and don't forget now, bring your earplugs.
You think?
TSO gets pretty loud.
All right, we got two things to do here.
Go for it.
First, we've got two tickets to the Christmas Story. If you call 916-921-1530 or 800-834-1530, and you can tell us the name or the title of our tourism guest who updated us on tourism during the newscast at about 3:15 this afternoon, 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. If you can tell us the name or her title, you will win those two tickets if you're the first one to call to a Christmas Story, and tickets are available if you want to go. Also, Southwest Airlines is having a party in Fremont Park tomorrow from 4:45 until 7 o'clock to celebrate the inauguration of their Hawaii service. They are going to be giving away a free round trip for a couple of people for Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Fremont Park tomorrow from 4:45 to 7 o'clock downtown.
Oh, okay. That's it. Shoot, we still got a minute and a half.
Well, I just was trying to make sure that I got all of this stuff out here before we ran out of time. That sounds like a lot of fun. You know, the Southwest people are pretty good at throwing parties.
They do, but one of the things they're also pretty good about it is if it weren't for people like us and this radio station, I don't know if everybody would have known about it.
Yeah, well,
we could have kept it to ourselves and gone down and see if we could have got that free ticket.
Free tickets to Hawaii, and if the lines have not already lit up, if you were listening to the show earlier and you could tell us who the California tourism official was who came on and gave us a tourism update, her name or her title, at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. If you're the first person to identify her, you will win. Luis, I see him on the phone
He's
right now.
He's on the phone. Do we have a right answer yet? No, not yet.
Okay, so next week, we have a great interview. If you do ride sharing, especially if you are a lady and you do ride sharing by yourself and you've ever thought about, you know, how safe is ride sharing, we have an interview next week that you will want to listen to during our Smarter Traveler segment that's going to tell you a little bit about security and ride sharing, some good and some perhaps not so good. So that's next week on the Travel Guys.
All right. Yeah. And we also have a couple of great interviews we're going to share with you. One with a guy named Joe Sentme.
Yep.
I think you're going to enjoy this. And Travelers United, people that are in Washington, D.C., are there to help us get things straight from time to time.
Congratulations to Ben from Placerville, who has picked up our two tickets. Remember to... Thank you. Remember to dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next week here.
All righty. Stay well, my friends. See you next time.